And so, with absolute confidence and certainty, the writer can say, well, until Jesus comes, we won't know who we are. And that's all right. We're going to be living in a world that is confusing and often dark and befuddling, with lots of twists and turns and dead ends and cul-de-sacs and starting over again and trying something else. And that's all right. That's the nature of life, the nature of things now in the world that has not been fulfilled and complete. We sang in the opening hymn this morning, Holy, 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 the great vision from Isaiah of the angels and archangels and cherubim around the throne of God. And then that verse where it talks about the eye made blind by sin, thy glory may not see. Why isn't God obvious to all of us in the world? Why isn't the reality of God's grace and goodness and mercy and the gift in all things obvious to us? The answer is because we are blinded. We are in a world that is darkened. The writer in the second lesson this morning said, the world does not know us because it doesn't know him. The world does not see the reality of God in us because it does not see the reality of God in anything. It does not recognize the graciousness and the goodness and the real presence of God as the great giver of all things in the midst of life. But Christians do, don't we? See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. Called, declared to be. That's a reference to baptism. We have been claimed in spite of ourselves. In the midst of life, in all of its ups and downs, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken hold of us. Taken hold of us. Lutherans baptize babies quite frequently. That's been our custom, and that's a good one, and we can support it, and we believe it's an act of sheer grace and mercy. But years ago, I was speaking with a young man who was preparing for baptism, and his life had gone on far enough in the world that he had plenty of things that had compromised him, and he had some doubts about whether he deserved baptism. And I said, your undeserving is the absolutely best part of it. That is precisely why we're going to baptize you, because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to step into a life that is undeserving and transform it and make it new, not because of anything you're going to accomplish, but because of his sheer grace, his mercy, his desire to call you his own. In baptism, we are adopted as children of God. We are called God's children. Even though we are really not suitable for the job. And all of us have given evidence to that so that we don't need to talk about it. And yet, that's not what we focus on. As Christians, we do not take our cues for the meaning and significance of life by looking primarily at our own dreams and plans, our own hopes and prospects, but rather we look at the very fundamental basis of our life. We are people who have been chosen, who have been taken up in the grace of God by his own mercy, his own choice, his own free will to love sinners. And I certainly qualify, and I'm grateful for that love and that choice that God has made in my baptism. Today is All Saints Sunday. The last time you introduced somebody that you know, maybe in the church or another Christian friend to someone, did you say, hello, I'd like you to meet St. Bill or St. Brian? Probably not, but could you? Certainly, of course you could, yes. For what is a saint but one who has been called holy, declared to be righteous, one who has been grafted into the very life of God and now looks forward with hopeful anticipation to the final fulfillment of that life. That's what the writer of the text is calling us to this morning. We don't know quite yet what we're going to be. It's pretty dark and cloudy in this world. Things are messed up. Things are confusing. And if it depended on us to bring about a real and positive and hopeful and great and marvelous future, well, we haven't been doing too good a job of it yet, and it's probably not going to happen. But because we know that when Jesus Christ comes, he is going to wrap this thing up and pull everything together and make all things new, we can look with great eagerness and anticipation to that day, with a capital D, as Luther liked to say, when that will happen and what we are will be fully and finally revealed. These are the kinds of things that I think about whenever I visit a graveyard, and I've been to a lot of them, like some of you have. And as we walk among the stones and the reminders of people who have gone before us, as a Christian, we can say, well, it is sad, it is not fun to lose those we love, but at the same time, we can anticipate that day when God will restore to himself all his people from throughout all the ages of time. And as the writer of Revelation painted for us this morning, we will be gathered around the throne, a great image of the heavenly court. And a multitude, he said, without number, will be standing there, and they'll have nothing better to do than to praise God. Isn't that a thought? What if the whole world with one voice would do that? Wouldn't that be something? If on one day the whole world decided, let's just put everything aside and praise God, we'd probably shake the continents with the voices and the singing. Well, one day the Bible says that's what's going to happen. We are going to be so totally identified with the God who has loved us, who has brought us salvation, who has redeemed us, who has made us his own. We are going to be so totally identified with him that we will know utterly who we are, without question, because we will know utterly who God is. The Old Testament said no one can see God and live, and that's true. Which is one of the reasons that in the meantime, before that happens, God hides from us, cannot reveal himself. But one day that won't be the case. God won't hide himself. And we will see God, and we will yet live. So on All Saints Sunday, it's a time for looking at a big picture. It's a time for remembering that the few short decades that God gives us in this world cannot compare to the eternal weight of the glory that stands ahead of us in time. We think today about those whom we have lost, those who have gone before us. You and I, who've been here a long time, can look around these pews, and we can name them, can't we? We can see their faces. I can almost tell you where they sat every Sunday, many of them. You know, and that's true in every congregation, and it's been true across the centuries. Well, one day, that congregation will be gathered together as one. What a reunion that will be. What a day that will be. Jesus called it a wedding feast that has no end. It was one of the images that he used. I won't drink the cup with you again, he said, until I drink it with you in the kingdom of heaven. When we have that great feast of victory that we sang of here just a few minutes ago. And so this morning as we come to the altar, there are a couple things going on here for us. We come as people gathered around that foretaste of the feast that is yet to come. Jesus Christ, in his real presence among us, gives the gifts of the gospel to us in the bread and wine, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We also gather at this railing this morning. We come and we kneel in the presence of that great cloud of witnesses, the saints of God. All the saints who are cheering us on, who are sitting in the bleachers of heaven, cheering us on, calling for us to continue the good fight of faith. There is that mystical fellowship that we share with all God's people. I don't understand it, Some churches make a lot more of it than Lutherans do. I think the Orthodoxy, for example, make much more of that great mystical fellowship with the saints, but there is something to that. I don't quite know what it means, but I do know that when we gather around the living God in the presence of the sacrament, as he gives himself to us, that where God is present, there is present in some way the entirety of his church, the entirety of his people. And so this morning, as we gather, we're only going to do communion on one half of the railing, so it's going to take a little longer. We're going to commune over on this half of the altar railing. And as we do so, we're going to remember all those who have gone before us and all those who are yet to come in Christ, who will also be a part of our great fellowship in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So even as we gather here this morning to receive the sacrament, so will we remember. It is for all the saints that Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross. And one day, although now we do not know who we are exactly, because of Jesus Christ and because we are known by him, we will know fully, even as we have been fully known, so said St. Paul. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.